Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, precious saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I want to start today's teaching with a song by Tennessee Ernie Ford. It's entitled, Let Others See Jesus in You. I hope and pray this song will minister to your heart.
While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Your life's a book before their eyes. They're reading it through and through. Say, does it point them to the skies? Do others see Jesus in you? Let others see Jesus in you.
See Jesus in you and in me and in the church. May we point them to the Lord, who is the Savior. We're dealing with this text that I came upon in Isaiah 60:22. It reads, and it's a great promise from God to us. It's a great promise of God to every generation of the church. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it. The promise, the prophecy, in his time. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name, and we love you, Lord. We draw near because we love you. We love you, and we can't get enough of you, oh God. Our prayer is that let others see Jesus in us today as we go out and about. Let others see Jesus in me. May I never falter in my assignment of reflecting Jesus Christ in my life. Bless us, oh God, we pray. So many opportunities you give us in a day to showcase Jesus to the world. Father, may we do so. And may we do so in a manner that is pleasing to you, Lord. May we never bring ill repute to the name of Jesus, to the cause of Christ. Help us, O God, to be faithful to the assignment, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. A promise from God to us, a little congregation. A little one shall become a multitude. A little one shall become a thousand. A small one, a strong nation. I am believing God for 1,000 redeemed souls at Grace Church. I'm believing God for 4 Sunday services. I'm believing God for 250 children, 250 youth, 250 young adults, and 250 seniors. Is that possible? Absolutely. The Bible says it is not by power nor by might that these things are done, but by my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. So, we do not trust in ourselves. The Bible says, cursed is the man who trusted or relies or put his confidence or banks on the arm of flesh. That's not us. We're not trusting in man. We're not trusting in man's ability. We're not trusting in any man's preaching skills to draw people. No, we're trusting that God would draw them. Jesus said, unless the Father draw them, they will not come. They won't. So, we are preaching and teaching Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what we're doing. And we're believing. I'm believing. If it's just me believing, that's okay. I'm believing God for 1,000 souls. And you say, but Pastor, that's not possible. Not in St. Johnsville. Anything is possible in St. Johnsville if we involve the Lord. If the Lord is front and center, anything is possible in St. Johnsville or anywhere else. So we're believing, we're trusting. Now, yesterday we talked about how the Bible is divided into 2 testaments, Old Testament, New Testament. How in the Old Testament, the process of God building his church is very slow. It's very, very slow and very, very lengthy. It's a lengthy process, a slow process. We looked at the word generation. Generation is the same as life produced by man. These are the generations of Adam. Adam begot Seth and so forth and so on. And Seth begot his son and his son begot his son. And so over time, over generations, we go from one man, Adam, 1,000 men on the face of the earth. And so it takes a while. In the Old Testament model, it takes a while. It's a slow, lengthy process to go from 1 through to 1,000. Because God was building his church back then through a godly line, a godly family, a godly seed. And that church grew numerically as the descendants multiplied in the godly line, in the family line. It is not so in the New Testament. New Testament church growth is far more rapid. It's quick. In one day, in one sermon, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, in one sermon, 3,000 souls were added to the church in one day, not by generation, not by the lengthy process of begetting, a father begetting a son, and then that son begetting his son, and then that son, no, not that way. not by generation, but by regeneration. Life produced by the Spirit of God. That is a quick process. That God can multiply the number of members in the church by one revival sermon. So I wanted to show you this contrast because, again, we're working from an Old Testament text, Isaiah 60, verse 22, and anyone reading Isaiah 60, verse 22 knows about the Old Testament process, that it was slow. It was generational, one generation producing another generation of kind. So this is why we read Isaiah 60:22, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will make it happen. I, the Lord, will produce that in his time. The word is time, in the process of time. Things take a while for an infant to grow and to become a man and to reproduce himself and have his infant son, and for that infant son to grow and mature and become a man, and for him to produce an infant son. Lengthy process, very lengthy process. So now, I want to show you this process by means of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. I want to show you this. So today we're going to be looking at Abraham, and we're looking at Isaac. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, Tuesday, we're looking at page 2 in your outline, Tuesday, May 16th, the promise made to the first major patriarch, Abraham. And here you have Genesis 13. Open your Bibles to Genesis 13. And we're going to read verse 14, 15, and 16. Now, it says, "And the Lord said unto whom?" Verse 14, Genesis 13, 14. "And the Lord said unto whom? Abram." Now, it's not Abraham. It's not Abraham, but it's Abram. The name Abram means exalted father. Exalted father. Now, at this time, Abraham had no children. He had no sons. He had no progeny, no offspring, no descendants, no posterity, no seed. His wife Sarah was barren. She produced no children. And the Lord said unto exalted father, to that Lot, his nephew, was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed," notice the word seed, those are his descendants, "forever." Now, of course, Abraham has no seed. He has no children. This is a wacky promise. What, God? You're promising to give me this land and to give it to my seed, but you know that my wife Sarah is barren? I have no seed, God. I have no children. I have no posterity. I have no son that I can bequeath this land to. Verse 16, look what God says. "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." Pick up, go outside and pick up a handful of dirt. Can you number the grains of sand? Can you number the grains of sand in your hands or dirt? Try counting the grains of dirt that are in your hands. Try counting it. Impossible. God says to this man who has no seed at the time, "I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth," which is impossible, "then shall thy seed also be numbered." So Abram, exalted father, is promised descendants, is promised seed. In other words, God is saying to Abraham, from you the one shall come thousands. From you the small one shall come a strong nation. That's what God is, in essence, promising Abraham. Now, let's turn to Genesis 15. Let's go to Genesis 15. Some years have passed, and God is speaking to Abraham and reminds him of the promise that he made many, many years ago in chapter 13. It says in Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. He's still Abram. He's still Abram. He's not Abraham at this point. He's Abram. He's exalted father, but the name really doesn't match because he's not even a father. But that's his name, exalted father. So God says to Abram, exalted father, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. My steward, my adopted servant, he is, if you don't give me a son soon, he will inherit all of my wealth. He will inherit everything you promised to give me and have given me. Eliezer of Damascus. He's not my son. He's adopted. Verse 3, and Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed. Now he's reminding God that God had made him a promise in 13, chapter 13. Behold, God, let me remind you, you promised me seed, but I don't have any yet. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir, this Eliezer of Damascus. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this Eliezer shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, he shall be thine heir. And he brought Abram forth. He brought him outside and said, look up towards heaven and tell me the stars, if you're able to number them. And then he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Can you number the stars? No. Who can number the stars? No one has. No one's been able to. Even with our great telescopes today, you know what they do? They guess. They make a guesstimation. There are so many billions of stars. God said to Abram, listen, your seed shall be as the stars of heaven, numerous from you and your wife. You can't produce anything, but I promise you seed. I promise that out of 1,000 shall come. And the story gets worse. Years from chapter 15, we go to chapter 17. Let's go to chapter 17. And we're going to read all the way down to verse number 22. And to assist me today, and I'm struggling a little bit here with the cold, the flu, whatever it was that I had last week is still lingering. We have audio Bible here, so we're going to go to chapter 17, verse 1. Now, mind you, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, 25 years have gone by. And nothing. Nothing. Just a promise. Just a promise. I'm going to give you seed in chapter 13. I'm going to give you seed in chapter 15. And now in chapter 17, I'm going to give you seed again. 25 years have passed from the first pronouncement that God would give him children. Okay, so let's read chapter 17 starting at verse 1.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram.
I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly.
Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him.
As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.
Now right there, the name is changed. Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of many. In Hebrew, the I am ending on any noun. I am ending is always plural. For example, when you the ancient name of Egypt, Mizraim, you read Genesis chapter 10, verses 6 through 10, you read about Mizraim. One of the descendants of Ham was Mizraim. That's the father of Egypt, the father of many, Mizraim. I am ending, always plural, means many. So God says, I am changing your name from Abram, exalted father, to a real father, the father of many offspring. Okay, let's continue reading at verse number 6.
I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you.
So notice the word in verse 7, the key word is generations. God is going to do this over time, the slow process of one man begetting a son and that son begetting offspring and those offsprings beget. It's going to take time from generations to generations.
Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house, or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house, and he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her.
Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart,
Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?
And Abraham said to God,
Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him.
Now, you know that in the process of time, God's promise to Abraham that he would have seed wasn't fulfilled. And so Sarai, his wife, came up with the idea that he could take her handmaid, Hagar, and cohabit with her, and by means of Hagar, he can produce offspring. Well, that child was Ishmael. And Abraham says, oh, no, God, forget this plan that you've concocted. I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90. There's no way we're going to have children. Abraham laughed at the idea, laughed in derision. This is nonsense. Let Ishmael live. And God says, oh, no, nothing that you produce in the flesh, nothing that was produced by carnal means will I identify with. I will give you seed. I will give you a son. Isaac shall be his name, and I will establish my covenant with him and with his seed after him. So let's continue reading verse 20. 21 and 22.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year.
Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham.
So notice, the chapter starts out with God speaking to Abram, and here in verse 22 it says, and God left off speaking with Abraham. The name had already taken. The change was already in motion. You see, the text says, this is what the text says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. It's all about God's timing, saints. God and his timing. So, let's move on to Isaac. Let's go to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, 19. And here's the text. And these are familiar words to us. It says, Genesis 25, 19, and these are the generations. There's that word again. Generate, that's a key word. These are the generations of Isaac, Abram's son. Abram begot Isaac. And Isaac was 42 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated, or he prayed to the Lord. He interceded on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She had twins. So notice, in the next generation, in Abraham produced one, Isaac produced two. Well, technically, Abraham produced Ishmael also, but he was not part of the covenant. And of course, then when Sarah died, Abraham remarried with a woman named Keturah. Keturah bore him six sons, but none of those sons inherited the land or the covenant or the promise, because the promise, the covenant, and the land was given to one named Isaac. So now, in Genesis 26, it says, and there was a famine, Genesis 26:1, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land that I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless thee, and unto thy seed. Notice, unto thee and unto thy seed will I give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's a slow process in the Old Testament, but the promise is the same. From one small person, from one insignificant person, and you got to remember, Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldees, but in Ur of Chaldees, Abraham was just a regular Joe. There was nothing special about Abraham, nothing, other than God chose him for the assignment. That's what made him special, God's election of him. Just like what made David special, God's election of David. David was so insignificant that when the prophet Samuel came to the house to anoint the king, David's father didn't even consider to bring David in from among the sheep because he thought him too insignificant for the role. But God always takes a little one, the runt of the litter. He always takes one and multiplies that one and turns them into 1,000. He takes a small one and he turns them into a nation, and the Lord will hasten it. The Lord will see to it in his time. That's what we're praying about. Lord, it's your time for Grace Church. Lord, we're praying. Give us a visitation. Give us a miracle. Give us a revival. Cause one to become 1,000 in Jesus' name. We'll be back tomorrow to continue this series as we talk about Jacob and Joseph in this lengthy process of God taking one and turning them into 1,000. Let me remind you all that tonight at 6:50, join us for prayer. As we continue to pray for revival, as we continue to pray for the sick, as we continue to pray for our churches in St. Johnsville, the pastors in St. Johnsville, the people who don't know Jesus in St. Johnsville, we're praying, and we're praying that God will give us 1,000. God bless you. See you at 6:50 tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you until then.
Fear not, little flock, from the cross to the throne, from death into life, he went for his own. All power